I want to tell you, I love your pastor and his wife, and I have had a blast already with the 3 hours of conversation that I've had with your pastor about his genesis. And as a young college student, finding the call of God on his life. And I remember when he and Debbie first fell in love, and I could tell immediately they were perfect for each other. And, you know, it's just so grand to know someone in the beginning of their faith and their, you know, adventure of meeting the Lord, and then being with them a few decades later after they've been faithful to the Lord. And I want to say something. I got in the car, and he gave you the most wonderful compliment. I've been a guest speaker many times, and you talk to pastors about how tough it is and how rough it is and how many scars they have. And he told me this about you. These people are so easy to love. They are wonderful people. So from the old quarterback who used to get tackled, he's tackled me more. He has hit me more than he's hit his son Craig. I guarantee you that. I want to thank you for loving your pastor, my friend, and his wife. Would you just give them a hand for their years of service? We love you, and we praise you. Thank you so much, Dave. It's a joy. I want to tell you, this is a historic week in the life of this church. This church has a grand history of being used of the Lord and open to the Holy Spirit. But there's something special about this week, and I want to tell you what it is. Churches all over America are recognizing they need to release the Holy Spirit in their midst anew and afresh. And your pastor and leadership here has been having annual Holy Spirit conferences, and heaven has been noticing that. And I want to declare over you that this will be an epicenter for releasing the work of the Holy Spirit throughout the nations. And this is a very, very historic week, and I'm so humbled just to be one of three speakers. And let me tell you what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be setting a foundation. I'm going to be a big picture in the next few moments. Tonight's going to be very powerful. It's going to be very biblical, but very unique. I doubt if you've ever been in a service like you're going to be in tonight. It's going to be very unique. You don't want to miss it. But I want to tell you, tomorrow, Tuesday night, Pastor Ron Woods is going to be here. Everywhere he's been, the Holy Spirit has moved. He's one of my little youth campers when I was a camp evangelist and a counselor. And I've watched him grow and be used of the Lord. You've probably heard of his ministry, just not too many miles from here. You want to come hear this mighty man of God. And then Wednesday night, Denny Duran is going to be here. This place needs to be packed. I'll tell you what, I wasn't in town 24 hours, and I invited the owner of Chick-fil-A in Claremore to come hear Denny Duran. I went to him and I said, listen, Mr. Treat, Brian Treat, you've got to come Wednesday night to hear Denny Duran. So, offensive genius, wrote a song, and the Blackwood Brothers recorded and won a Grammy Award. Who can create an offense where the Chicago Bears ask him for consulting information and win a Grammy Award? That's who's speaking here Wednesday night. I have district superintendents that asked me to try to get Denny Duran to come speak at a district level. And what I can't do at a district, your pastor has got coming here. This week is going to be incredible and historic, not because of who the speakers are, but because our hearts are unified for heaven to open up and the Holy Spirit to move in a very, very special way. Are you ready just to grow in the Lord? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Just turn your hands toward heaven right now. Just turn your Father in the name of Jesus. We're not grieving the Holy Spirit here. We're not resisting the Holy Spirit. We welcome the Holy Spirit as He promotes Jesus. We thank You that everything will be done decently and in order. Lord, we pray for Marty right now. He's the miracle of the week. He's the miracle that our hearts are on. And we pray that You would touch him right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And I pray as we go from service to service that we would grow and find ourselves right where You want us to be, where we can be used of the person of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody shouted, glory to God. I want to ask you a question. I want to ask you a very important question. Have you ever had a genuine, personal, spiritual experience? Have you? I want to ask you. Have you had a genuine, personal, spiritual experience? Raise your hand if you have. You know, sometimes there might be a little bit of hesitancy to raise your hand because you're saying, I really don't know what you mean by that, and I don't know if I want to raise my hands. I want you to know something. That ever since Adam said, hey, Eve, the Lord is here, and it's the cool of the evening. Let's go walk with the Lord. And they used to have that genuine, personal, spiritual experience with the Lord in the cool of the day in the garden. From Moses' moment at the burning bush, throughout history, people like you daring to open up their life to have genuine, personal, transforming, spiritual experiences has always been so important. But may I tell you, those type of experiences that are going to be taking place this week have never, underline the word never, somebody say never. Never have they been as important as they are right now, in this day, in this hour. I'm here to tell you, right now is the time for God's people not to be ashamed to say, I've had a genuine, personal, spiritual experience. It's brought meaning and direction to my life, and I want to obey the Lord in every new dimension that He has for me in the chapters ahead. I live in Dunwoody, Alabama. I pastor there at Chapel Hill, and I live in a high-rise with every religion and nationality on the planet. I've got Hindus on my floor. I've got 26 floors filled with Muslims and atheists, and I've loved it. I'm moving out next week, but I've been there for a year and a half. And they're trying to figure out me because I'm the Jesus person in this global high-rise, okay? We've got the world there. You walk down the hall of my condo, you smell every food on the planet, I'm telling you. And so here this Jesus, Holy Spirit guy has moved in. I get up day by day with the joy of the Lord and the power of the Spirit in my life and the Word of God in me. And the head of the condo is a sophisticated, good-looking playboy, single guy. And he's trying to figure me out what's going on, okay? It'd be like being in the condo with Pastor Dave. And last 4th of July, they're having a big party up there, and I'm on the elevator with this sophisticated playboy, businessman, good-looking guy. It's just him and me. And he looks at me in the elevator, and he's trying to figure me out, because I've lived there a year, and he just can't figure out what's driving me. He says, do you drink a lot? I said, no. He said, now, this is a classy guy looking at me. Do you smoke weed? It had been a long time since anybody asked me if I smoke weed. I said, no, I don't smoke weed. And he was really curious. He said, well, what do you do? And he was kind of lit up for 4th of July a little bit. I said, well, to be honest with you, I'm really into the Holy Spirit. I really try to live my life every day open and available to the Holy Spirit. He looked at me. He really couldn't figure out what I meant by that. But he had a message for you that he shared with me. It's a message to the entire body of Christ. He said, well, if that's the case, you better go get you some Holy Spirit then. And I want you to know this day, the Word of God and the heart of Jesus is calling you, and He's calling this church to this week. I want you to move in to a fresh release of the Holy Spirit on your life. This is your day, this is your hour, and it's time for you to let the Holy Spirit refresh you. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about being here, and I want to run full-heartedly and get all the moving of the Holy Spirit that's available for me. Now, I want to tell you, this work of the Holy Spirit on your life, we're going to talk big picture here. We're going to get smaller, more detailed as we go on. But this is big picture. Can we go big picture for a while? Big picture. I want to tell you that it's the heart of God for you to be saturated with the Holy Spirit on your life in a personal way. Over in Numbers chapter 11, we find the children of Israel were really in a dilemma. They've been eating manna, and people were tired of manna, and there was some meat, a little leadership difficulty. And Moses was praying, and God was saying, I'm about to give these complainers some meat. I'm going to give them so much protein, it's just going to be stacked up all over the field. And to try to lead the people through this trauma, Moses gathered 70 leaders, and you would have been in that group. And while they gathered around Moses, the Spirit of the Lord that was on Moses came and was imparted upon these 70. This is the Old Testament. And they began to prophesy, and the Spirit of the Lord began to flow out of their life, and direction came, and movement came. And then finally, after that great service was over, it says that those 70 never prophesied again. But there was two guys that weren't a part of that meeting that was out prophesying somewhere else. And Joshua, a young mentor of Moses, kind of got upset because he was worried that people were going to listen to these people prophesied instead of the leadership of Moses. And he comes running up to Moses and says, Moses, we got these two guys outside of the camp, the revival, the Holy Spirit conference, that's prophesying, and we need to quieten them down. We don't need to let them be people of influence. And in Numbers 11, 29, I want you to see what Moses said, if you'll put it up there. Moses gives us the heart of what a true Spirit-filled man is. Remember, he's the meekest man in all the world. He says, oh, don't keep these men from having the Spirit of the Lord on their lives or prophesying for my sake. You don't have to protect me. You don't have to protect my celebrity. You don't have to protect my position. And he says something personally to you that echoes through the generations and speaks to this row of graduates. He said, I would that all men would prophesy. I wish that everyone would have the Spirit of God all over them. So when it comes to the work of the Holy Spirit, it's not exclusive for the Moses. It's not exclusive for the Denny Durans or the Ron Woods. It is you. It is the Lord's will that the Spirit of the Lord come upon you and live upon you, and that all people, including you, would live a life saturated by the Holy Spirit. Now, we don't have this verse on the screen, but it's almost a parallel example in the New Testament. Jesus is sending out the first wave of Spirit-filled believers. And he sends out another group of 70. And he sends them out in Luke chapter 4:10, or 10:4, I forget whichever one it is, 4:10. And 10:4. And he says this is what I want you to do. And because I want to say, when I tell you that you should live a life with the Holy Spirit and that and that you should have a spirit of prophecy on you, you kind of want to draw back a little bit. Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't know about you. But I want to tell you in a broad range what living in the Spirit is, simple as can be, according to Luke 10:4. He says, 70, I want you to go. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few, and I'm going to send you out with my power. And I want you to go, and don't worry about your funding, and don't worry about your resources. I'm going to take care of you. And this is what I want you to do. And here's the kicker. This is what Spirit-filled people bring to their culture, bring to their families. I want you to go and deliver peace. Peace. That is the marker of all Holy Spirit activity. It releases peace in storms. All gifts, all activity, all ministry, all dimension of the Holy Spirit in the broad picture, it releases the peace of God onto a situation. And he says, the peace, you have peace. And if you walk into that home, you give them your peace by giving them what you found in Christ. And if they accept their peace, your peace, leave it with them. But if they reject your peace, you take it and you go on to the next place. So don't be afraid of the work of the Holy Spirit, because the work of the Holy Spirit, big picture, is to release the peace of God through your life. And they went out and miracles started taking place. Demons were cast out. People were healed. And they came back at the end of the chapter and they were saying, Jesus, this is awesome. This is awesome. Demons were subject to us as we cast out devil. And Jesus said, watch it. Because you're getting all pumped up because you were used. I was there when the devil got filled with pride and I saw him drop in an instant because he got so arrogant and thought that he could be number one. Don't rejoice that you're operating in signs and wonders and devils run when you speak the name of Jesus. But here's the baseline. Your joy and the thrill of your life, let it always be this, that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. And you start right there. And graduates, here's the bottom line for happiness. Be thrilled that you're saved. Be thrilled that you're born again. Be thrilled that you know Jesus is Lord and Savior and your name's found in that book. And then after that is your identity and your motivation for all you do. Go into your world, a troubled culture, and give them the peace that God's going to deliver through you by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now stay with me for a moment, because, you know, when you start thinking about you think you could ever be a prophet? Do you think, now don't go narrow on me. When over in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, the Bible says that I want you to be eager to prophesy. How many of you ever said, man, I am really eager to prophesy? Well, someone was using the gift of interpretation, and they don't do it for show or to be a big shot, I'm sure, but you know, they say, Lord, I want to be used. And the Bible says always do it in a fitting and an orderly way. But don't go narrow thinking. A prophet is someone that says, thus saith the Lord, a tornado is coming, you know, to who's your rival with the Sooners or Oklahoma State? I don't want to prophesy. I want in Oklahoma. I'm trying to get, you know, who? Texas, Austin, Austin, you know, the Longhorns going to get blown out of it. Don't think, you know, being a prophet is someone that's just going around predicting. Think as a prophet. Moses said, I want all people to prophesy. I want all people to have the Spirit of the Lord all over them. Don't think of being eager to prophesy as being the one eager, said, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord. No, be eager to have a prophetic life, a Spirit-saturated life, a life that in every dimension of your being, you just want the Holy Spirit all over it. That's a prophetic life. The reason why I love hanging out with your pastors, because we were just young men trying to find our way, just trying to find direction. But even in our genesis of our life, there was this prophetic, Spirit-saturated dimension of our early 20s that was amazing. Amazing. You see, a Spirit-filled prophetic life, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 3, look at this verse. It's not some weird, strange, ecstatic voice crying in the wilderness just with a voice. It's with your whole life that does these three things. Look at this. Grace, this is you. Daisy, I see this all over you. What if the rest of your life, you two girls, lived a prophetic life and you let everything in your world get shaped by these three words? To comfort, to encourage, to strengthen. What about it? What about it, Jacob? You want to go to Europe? What if you went to Europe and you get over there and you say, I know why I'm over here. Be a prophet. And the way I think, the way I talk, the way I live, everything I do, the way I study, it's to strengthen, to comfort, and edify. It's almost like the kingdom of God is so far ahead of the positive talk, chatter of our culture. We've got all these people talking. No. When the Spirit of the Lord really gets on you, you move into somebody's life, and you know what they're speaking to you? They're saying things that comfort you and encourage you. And sometimes when you build something, you got to dig a hoe, and you got to pour a foundation, and you got to put some rebarb in there. So that's a little bit uncomfortable sometimes. But what if your whole life was to build comfort and strengthen? You know, I want to tell you something. Pastor Dave and I get together, and we're amazed. Now, we're talking big picture here about how our experience as young men in our 20s was a prophetic journey for what God had for us. I mean, looking back, it's like we were on this Pioneer football team. He was a strong safety. And I hated his big old thick legs. He could get down under there, he could explode out of that and get right under my chin. But there was something I didn't know. I was on the offensive side of the ball, and I was on the creative side of the ball. I was there to stir something up and make something happen and create, some kind of like an evangelist here today to kind of stir it up and kind of stir up the gift of God. I didn't know it, but I was at that beginning pioneer program. I didn't know that later on God would take being a part of the first 4 years to be on a football team, creating a program to make me a church planner in an American major city. I didn't know it was training for that. I didn't know, but as the time goes back, you see, even the things that you do, there's many of you here that lessons you've learned and seasons in your life that you were placed in, you're looking back and you say, the Lord allowed me to be trained there because He had foreknowledge of what He was going to do with my life. I want to tell you, Pastor Dave was strong safety. That was prophetic of being your pastor. You know what strong safeties do? They make sure everybody's in the right place. Get over here. Line up over here. Boy, that's great training for pastors. You know what strong safeties do? They step up to the line of scrimmage and they do what needs to be done. If they need to be a linebacker, they go play linebacker. If they need to cover deep, they cover deep. They're a jack of all trades. They're courageous. What prophetic training to be the man of God that you love. And I'm here to tell you that this whole thing, when you get in a culture and you live with, I live to comfort. I live to build. I live to edify. You are moving into that realm of the Holy Spirit where you have a prophetic release upon all that you do. Now, I'm going to say something, and it's going to take me about 6 minutes to do it. Maybe a little bit longer. But in my opinion, what you're about to hear is some of the most strategic things I know I could ever share with you for the way the Lord's going to use you for the rest of your life. It's a big picture. But I want to talk about the work of the Holy Spirit. When you're really in tune with the Holy Spirit, 1 Chronicles 12:32 comes into play. And it says this, the men of Issachar understood the times that they were in. Somebody say, my time. If you are really a spirit-saturated person, then the gift of wisdom will be in your life, and you just won't blow your time in history. You will understand your time because you're living with a spirit-saturated life. Are you tracking with me? You're tracking with me? And so, understanding the time, I want to talk to you just a moment, why, of all times, you, not that person on the other pew, but you having a genuine, personal, spiritual experience is so important. Tonight, I want you to come here, and you're not going to be embarrassed, but tonight, I want to tell you what's going to happen. We are going to have wave after wave after wave of genuine, personal, spiritual experiences. What's it going to happen? I know what's going to happen. Tonight, we're going to have wave after wave of genuine personal experiences right here at this. You're not going to be embarrassed. You can invite your friends and they'll go, whoa. In fact, they might say, that was so doctrinally correct. But it's going to be personal. It's going to be genuine. It's going to be spiritual. And I want to tell you, the times that you're living in, it needs you, if you're going to be a voice to your generation, to have personal experiences in God. And I want you to lean in. I don't want to bore you, but this is so important because I want to ask you a question. I'm going to build a timeline of what's going on, what was going on yesterday, what's going on today, to get us ready for how we're going to be used tomorrow. But how many of you would agree with me that as you live your times, we're supposed to be people of the Spirit and wisdom that understand our times, that things have gotten a little crazy. Well, do you ever watch news or read news and you go, what planet am I on? Come on, y'all, get that. Yeah, somebody say crazy. Now, I don't know what, when you think crazy, but how did we get to crazy? I'm going to tell you how we got to crazy. And I'm going to explain to you how we got to crazy. And when I get past crazy, I'm going to tell you why you having a fresh, genuine, personal encounter with the Holy Spirit this week is so important for this day of crazy. Just turn to your neighbor and say, crazy. Now, what do you think is the craziest stuff you've heard? Now, if you've got something crazier than what about our culture and our day, I want you to tell me what you think's crazy after church. But, you know, I was thinking, what's the craziest stuff? I think about the craziest thing I've heard was this thing about babies. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Parents having children, and they'll call them babies. You know what I'm talking about? Like, we're not going to tell little Bobby he's a boy, and we're not going to tell little Meredith that she's a girl. We're going to let them have 4 years as a baby, so when they get 4 years old, they get to decide if they're a boy or a girl. Now, I don't know about you, but is that a little bit? No, okay, that's one of them. We may be here a long time. Crazy. How'd we get to crazy? The crazies is calling you not to sit on the fence spiritually and watch your culture be confused and know not where reality is. Your culture is calling you in the midst of crazy to reach a hand toward heaven and let a whole open sky come down and the power of the Spirit touch you so you can be an agent, a voice crying in the wilderness, there is reality on the planet Earth. Here's the crazy. You're living in California. Not that you live in California. But there's a law out there that says you can't clear out all the brush around your house. because there's beetles in them there brush piles. And if you clear out the brush, you're going to kill their natural habitat. And then the Santa Ana fires come, and the whole neighborhood burns because you weren't allowed to clear out dry kindling wood wrapped around your house. I don't know about you, but to me, that's kind of... Thank you. I appreciate your support. Well, I could go on and on. What about these sanctuary cities? And I'm not against having compassion for hurting people, but different cities within your nation that says, we forget about national and federal laws. We're going to do whatever we want to do. We're going to run our own little country within our country. I'm about to tell you, what you're living in is saying you've got to have a genuine personal experience to be the antidote to what's taking place of chaos on your planet, in your country, in your generation. Hey, I say, Lord, open up heaven and give us a Holy Spirit conference of all Holy Spirit conferences, and let us have a testimony of the reality of the power of God in the now. Hallelujah. I want Him. Okay. So I'm going to tell you how we got to crazy. And then I'm going to tell you why you have an encounter with God is important. To understand your time. Timeline. Everybody listen. Here's the timeline. The timeline is, go back to the Roman Empire, real quick. The culture was driven by the military might and the bicep of the Roman army. The emperors, pedophiles, destroyed their culture and their leadership, and we went into the Dark Ages. Catholic Church tried to hold up a little bit of sanity. We went into terrible times of tribalism. Stay with me. And then 500 years ago, something happened that changed culture. Martin Luther held up this book and said, Sola Scriptura, which means the Word alone rules, or the Word of God is King. Sola Scriptura. It's not the Pope, it's not the King, it's not the God, it's the Word of God, the Reformation. And stay with me, young minds. From that declaration, people went to this book to figure out what the world was about and how created order got here. And science exploded, and people began to look at stars to try to find the Creator God that was told to them in the beginning. He created the heavens and the earth. Music was holy, sacred music declaring the glory of His name. Art was about the things of God. Education and law and culture. Everything was built upon Sola Scriptura, the Word of God. And the craziness of that Dark Ages began to have order and sanity in societies and government. And peace came to the world, the Western culture, as a result of the Word of God being elevated. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you, I'm a Bible guy as well as a Holy Ghost guy. And if there's crazy in your life, get more Word in your life, and this Word will elevate, hallelujah, peace in your world. But stay with me. What happened? We started getting too smart for God, and there was a period after the Reformation called the Enlightenment, which said, we don't need God because men are enlightened with their genius now, and they started walking around and saying God is dead, and we moved into a realm called rationalism. I'm not boring you. I'm educating you on why you need to have a personal, genuine, spiritual experience. Darwinism came. So there's no creator. We're all just evolutionary products. I read a book this thick on humanism and atheism. Atheists have a meaning and a purpose for their life. And this is why you can't kill the beetle in the brush pile that is in the kindling wood wrapped around your house. This is why they think this way. People have a reason to think that way. They think this, there is no God, and everyone here, everything here, is the lottery winner of the evolutionary journey. That's all everything is. There's no God. We're all the lucky ducks of evolution. And our purpose as an atheist is to make other lucky ducks of evolution life a little bit better than our life as a lucky duck of evolution. Therefore, since that beetle in that brush pile outside my house in California is a lucky duck of evolution, my meaning for life is to make that little beetle's lucky duck of evolution. He went through so much evolutionary to be here. I am not going to clean up this brush pile. I'm going to let my whole neighborhood burn down. They exited God. Stay with me. It's too important. And they said the only thing that is real is what can be scientifically measured, calculated. There is no spiritual, there is no invisible, there is only the material, the scientific, that which can be measured scientifically. But something happened a few years ago. That thinking ran out of gas in our culture. It ran out of gas. You know why? It was meaningless. Meaningless. You think about it. If you lived a life and you thought there is no God, there is no heaven, there is no invisible, there is no Jesus, there is nothing spiritual, it's just the scientific, what I can taste, touch, measure, and this is all this is, life becomes absolutely meaningless. The greatest novelist that's ever lived that wrote War and Peace, if you're looking for something to read over the summer, a guy by the name of Leo Tolstoy, raised in the Soviet evolutionary God is dead realm. And I was reading what he wrote, and he wrote down four reasons smart people kill themselves. He wrote War and Peace. He said, if there's no God, if there's no Holy Spirit, if there's no, life's meaningless. You only have four choices. You can just live your life as a child. Just be ignorant. Don't think about the atrocities and the pain and the trouble of the world. And just live your life like a little kid and don't know what's going on. Option number one. Option number two, when you think about the pain and the problems of this world, you can just kind of go out and just party it away and just stay stoned, like a lot of people do, and not really tie into what's going on in the world. Thirdly, you can just drudge it out in misery till the end and just suffer all the way to the finish line. But he said, I will not allow myself to get around a rope. Now, this is the most genius literary giant of history. I will not allow myself to walk by a knife, because people who are really courageous will take the knife and be bold and slit their own throat or put a neck around it and just end the misery. Quick! That's what courage is. Can you say praise the Lord? He met some peasants later on that knew Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and he found meaning and reality. Go ahead and give the Lord a clap offering now. And he spent the rest of his life sharing the gospel of Jesus. But so, that rationalism ran out of gas. Ran out of gas. So we went to crazy. And what crazy is, and you live in it every day, and I'm going to tell you about it, and we're going to have God move upon this city and in this church this week. Since rationalism and living that there is no God, and the only thing that here is science and measurable and material, there was no meaning there. We left rational thinking to move into whatever you want to do to bring meaning into your life. Doesn't matter. Whatever feels good for you. If you're a boy and you say you want to be a girl, that's fine. If that's fine. And meaning was found in personal, here we go, Here's what I've planted this whole thing. The air that we breathe in America today that's brought in the crazy is that finding meaning in experience is the only thing that is important. Did you hear that? Whatever you want to do. If it feels good, do it. Everybody do your own thing. I was pastoring in Arkansas. We've left science. Science doesn't matter. DNA doesn't matter. Chromosomes doesn't matter. It's just whatever you want, whatever's meaningful for you to do. And we've got that ruling that we were going to have to make bathrooms on our schools. Superintendent came and said, "Y'all, have you preachers settled down?" So, and when that ruling came down, thank God it's been crushed a little bit. I knew the federal government has left science. We've left science. We've left DNA, chromosome, and we're in a place now where whatever meaning, and we've bought into that thing. But here's the problem. There's 7.5 billion people on the planet. And when everybody's doing whatever they want to do, because what they chose to do is meaningful to them, we have mass chaos on the planet. I want to say that again. When everybody gets to do whatever they want to do because it brings meaning to them and it's not built on science or anything real, it's mass chaos on the planet. We can't get around. We can't function with anybody. And that's where we are. And that's why you're going, "What? That's crazy." Because we live in a day when everybody can do whatever they want to do. We can't have government. We can't have order. We can't have a society. And that's why this Holy Spirit is so important. And I close with this. You being here night after night and having a personal, genuine experience is what our world is crying out to see. Because they're saying, the monotony. Did y'all hear about the millennial? And I love millennials, but did you hear about the millennial monopoly game? Did y'all hear about that? Did you hear about that? The only thing that's important is your own experience. Experience. Say experience. So it wasn't like you're buying and selling property in real estate. When you move on a good spot, you have an experience. You win coffee with your friends. You win a trip here. It's all what experience. But here's what's going on. Experience in our culture rules the day. But it's disconnected from reality. It's disconnected from science. It's disconnected to the created order. But why your genuine, personal, spiritual experience is prophetic and needed today like never before. Because when you have an experience with the Holy Spirit, or you have an experience with Jesus, guess what? Say amen. It's meaningful. It's fulfilling. It is life transforming. But while it is meaningful to you on a personal level, it is still based in reality. It is based on an empty tomb that took place on the planet, on a certain moment in history, on a certain hill. There's a tomb that a stone rolled away. It's not just some feeling that we have. It happened with witnesses there. And what we have in Jesus is the whole enchilada. We have meaning. We have purpose. We have experience. And it's built in a world that God created. Jesus that walked on the shores of a city. Jesus that was in history. And when you have a genuine, personal, spiritual experience, you know what you're having? You're having what the whole world is crying out for. Something that is meaningful, that is built in reality. Hallelujah. And so when you experience Jesus, when you experience the Holy Ghost, that's not just something you're working up and can't relate to anybody. It is an eternal kingdom, factual, biblical dynamic. And if you are going to be prophetic with your life. And live a life that's gone into crazy or meaningless, whichever side of the coin they want to go to. Here you go. You can go to your future, Taylor. And you live your life and say, I want to encourage you. I want to comfort you guys. And if you watch me long enough, I think I can help build you a meaningful life. Because I've had a heartfelt experience that means everything to me. But it's based on the reality of a risen Savior. Baby, I've got the whole enchilada. I've got what this world is looking for. Stand with me and give the Lord praise right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I bless you. Lord, I bless you. Lord, I bless you. I bless you. I bless you. Say, Pastor, that's kind of strange preaching. Y'all know it is. It's more, you did more philosophizing than you did Bible teaching. I know I did. Because we've got too many Christians with so much ready to impact the world with, and they're looking around with a swivel chin going, what in the world's going on with my world? And all along, the Holy Spirit is saying, will you come and will you be the temple of the Holy Spirit? And would you let me do a work in your life? Because the genuine work that I'm doing in your life is what this culture is trying to find. With heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around as the keyboards begin to play. Tonight, we are going to have wave after wave of genuine personal experiences. Nothing's going to be forced on you. You're not going to be embarrassed. But I want to tell you what's going to happen. We are going to set your heart and spirit up so that when God wants to give you a fresh personal spiritual experience, you have readied yourself for what God wants to do in your life. But before we leave this place, heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around, I don't want to close this Sunday morning inaugural service of Holy Spirit Week without giving everyone in this room that says, Pastor, I have not been living a meaningful life. I've missed it. I'm confused. But today I want to make a move toward Jesus. You're here right now. You say, Pastor, I've been separated from the Lord. Maybe you've never met the Lord, or maybe you've prayed a long time ago and you've got away from that prayer, but you're here right now and you say, I need meaning in my life. And my life is one great big crazy puzzle. And I don't know what to do except to reach out to Jesus and ask Him to come into my life. If you're here right now, and you'll humble yourself and you'll say, I'm confused and I'm separated from who I need to be and from God, but today I want to reach out to peace. I want to reach out to Jesus. I'm going to count to three. As I count to three, I just want you to humbly raise your hand if you're here and you say, I need peace that can only come through the cleansing power of Jesus. I want you to raise your hand in humility at the count of three. Are you ready? One, two, three. Just raise your hand right now. Thank you. Praise God. Praise God. Hands are going up. Hello. Several hands are going up. This is what we're going to do. I haven't been given instructions on how to close the service. So this is what we're going to do. I'm going to ask that our great praise team leads us, and the atmosphere is changing. And beloved, I want you to know your pastor has heard from God to have a Holy Spirit conference because you, as Moses have said, have been called of God to live with the Spirit of the Lord all over your life. I would that every man and woman live a prophetic life of building, encouraging, and comforting. And this is what as we sing this song, I want us to worship just a few moments. And I want everyone that's raised their hand to say, I want to run toward Jesus because I want to run toward meeting. And I want many of these young people that didn't raise their hand, and they've got their whole lives ahead of them, and they want to be used for God throughout their generation. I want you to come and fill these altars. And after we've worshiped a minute, you can slip out as you need. But before we go, let's create our willingness to be what God wants us to be. Would you lead us this song, Brother John?